Well, we're turning then to the book of Exodus, the passage that we read earlier, the last part of chapter 13 and chapter 14. And we're coming, of course, now to the final deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt. Of course, we saw, didn't we, on the Passover night, that there was that terrible day of judgment that came, where the firstborn was slain and the Egyptians have sent out the Israelites, but the Lord hasn't finished, has he, dealing with the Egyptians yet. And we come to one last judgment, really, upon the Egyptians this evening, as we find that their hearts are hardened yet again, Pharaoh and his army and his people. They regret, in spite of all the plagues and the judgments, in spite of a terrible night of mourning with the firstborn slain in every household, in spite of all that, still a hardness of heart, and they regret letting the Israelites go, and they want to bring them back again into servitude. And of course, we're so familiar with the story, aren't we? They pursue the Israelites there through the sea, and they're overthrown. And what a glorious victory the Lord accomplishes there. As he said time and again, he will get him honour upon the Egyptians and upon Pharaoh. His name will be known throughout all those lands as the one who is the victor. And so we've seen, haven't we, that the Lord, particularly in these events leading up to, has been dealing very particularly with the Egyptians. The Israelites, we've been seeing as well, have learnt many lessons themselves. Although the plagues and the judgments came upon the Egyptians, the Israelites were learning lessons, observing these things. God is a God of mercy. There they escaped in the land of Goshen, all those plagues and trials that came on the Egyptians. And then, of course, they would experience that great deliverance there at the Passover events there. But the Lord is particularly focusing now, or the passage that we've been looking at this evening, particularly focuses on the Lord dealing now with the Israelites as they begin their journeyings. Having left Egypt, this is the beginning of a new life. They've been released from slavery in Egypt, released from that kingdom that they were gripped in. And we've remarked before, haven't we, how these things are pictures, these are types of salvation, of how the Lord it is who rescues his people from the kingdom of darkness, from the power of sin. And we can't rescue ourselves. We're like the Israelites were here, slaves in Egypt, slaves to sin. In Satan's kingdom, we could do nothing to rescue ourselves, just as the Israelites couldn't. But here we find, don't we, that through the blood of the Lamb for the Israelites there on the doorpost and the lintel, we, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb, are set free from that bondage, and set free to now to walk with the Lord. And here's this beginning of this journey through the wilderness, the beginning of a walk with the Lord. And if you want a title for tonight, perhaps that will be our walk with the Lord. Something of the beginning of our journeyings with the Lord. And that's what we have beginning to be unfolded here in this passage that we have before us. What I want us to particularly notice as we come to this passage is what we can learn regarding the Lord's dealings with his people as we enter into this life of faith. We enter into our journeyings with the Lord. And we see that particularly set before us in this wonderful description that we have of the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that the Lord provides here as the children of Israel begin on this pilgrimage, this journey through the wilderness. And we have this very graphic description of how they were led through this journey. It begins here, as they've left Egypt, as they get to the Red Sea, begins with this glorious pillar of cloud that's there in the day, and at night, a fiery pillar. And there are things here that are set before us as we come through these passages that teach us, show us something of the Lord's dealings with his people as they enter into these journeyings with the Lord, this life of faith, this walk with the Lord. So I want us to notice then, firstly, that the Lord is one who leads his people. It might seem an obvious thing to say, isn't it? But the Lord leads his people. And we're seeing here, as the children of Israel are led out of Egypt, as they begin their journeyings, we see something of the nature of our Lord, of how it is that he leads his people. I want you to notice how it is that the Lord at the beginning of this passage that we read in verse 17 of chapter 13 speaks about how the Lord gently, graciously leads his people. He knows their weakness. He knows their frailty, he knows their fear. Notice what it is that it says there. It came to pass, verse 17 of chapter 13, came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Notice how the Lord is the one who is the good shepherd who leads his sheep. He leads them in those still waters, those green pastures, those places, those journeys that he knows are best. And in an earthly sense, they might have said, well, this isn't a direct route. We're never going to get to the promised land this way. This is such a circuitous roundabout route. But the Lord knows best. And the Lord leads his people. And those of us who know and love the Lord, we have a testimony of that, don't we? That we sought the Lord and he's led us. He does lead his people. And we see something of that set before us here, how the Lord gently, graciously, knowing the weakness of his people, leads them his own ways, in those wise ways, in those good paths. And there are sometimes, perhaps, on our journeys that we question the way the Lord's leading us. We question his decisions. We question the way that we find ourselves in. But he knows best. The Lord leads his people. He leads his people in those wise ways. He leads them like that good shepherd. But he also is not only one who leads in that way with that wisdom and that gentleness, that graciousness, but he guides. And that's something we need to remember as well. The Lord guides us. We're to look to him that he might shed light upon our ways. And we see that wonderfully set before us here in this description of the pillar of fire. Notice what it says there in verse 21, where we're told about this pillar. Verse 21 of chapter 13. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. So here he is leading his people. But look at this description. To lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night. The Lord it is who gives light to his people. To guide them by day and by night. What is it that the Lord does in guiding us? We have here the Word of God. We have the Scriptures. And we read, don't we, how time and again the Scriptures set before us as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. This is the very Word of God. And we neglect this to our great loss, our peril. Here is the Lord who gives us guidance. He is the Lord who leads us. He is the Lord who sheds light upon our pathways. And we're to be those who acknowledge that this is the Lord's glorious provision. And it's by day and by night. You think of those occasions where the psalmist sometimes spoke of those things. How he said in the night watches, he would meditate upon God's law. Perhaps his sleep had departed from him. He'd wake up in the night and he felt that he needed something to refresh him. And he turns to the Word of God. He meditates upon the Word of God when sleep has departed from him. And in the daytime, the Word of God is that which he fed upon. The Word of God that guides us and leads us. Think for a moment of the children of Israel in this camp. And there's that fiery, cloudy pillar. Just think of them, as it were, at night. Perhaps were those who couldn't sleep at night. And come out of the tent door. And what do they see? There's that cloudy, fiery pillar in the night. Still there. By day and by night, it doesn't depart from them. Here's the Lord who guides his people at all times. He guides his people faithfully and never departs. That's something for us to acknowledge, isn't it? Notice what he says in verse 22 of chapter 13. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. All their journeyings, that was there. The Lord guiding them, leading them. The Lord is the same today with his people. He never departs from us. All our lives through, where those who begin our journey, that faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, what is it his promise? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Acknowledge that. The Lord is one who is faithful. And we can rely upon him and trust him and never leave us. Nor desert us, nor forsake us. Here's this lovely description then of how the Lord it is who leads his people, who guides his people day and night, day in and day out, all down through our journey, all down through our lives. And these are just beautifully, graphically set before us in this description of this cloudy pillar, this fiery pillar. But then I want us to notice as well, secondly, not only is it that the Lord leads his people with this fiery pillar, but the presence of the Lord himself is assured through this pillar of fire, this pillar of cloud, the very presence of the Lord. This wasn't just something that was put there by the Lord to lead the people. It wasn't just put there to guide them with a light in the night. The very presence of the Lord is assured and promised them here in this pillar of fire, this pillar of cloud. There's a wonderful teaching that we have as we unfold the scriptures and as we come to know the Lord Jesus, is that he promises to dwell in our hearts by faith. The Lord Jesus spoke about it. He said, I and the Father will take up our abode in you. There's a union with Christ. There's a communion with Christ. He dwells in our hearts by faith, by his Spirit. We know something of that union with him. See, we know his presence. And just as it's indicated here, isn't it, with the Israelites there, the very presence of the Lord was there. I'll go back again to think of the Israelite in the night. Comes out of his tent door. Not only does he see that the light's still there, but that assurance that God is still there, that the Lord is still there. We notice, don't we, how there's a particular emphasis made here to ensure that the people understood that it was the Lord himself that was there. Notice what it says in chapter 14 and verse 24. And it comes to the point where the Lord is going to deal with the Egyptians coming through the sea. It says in verse 24, it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud. Does it say that? Because it's indicating, assuring the Israelites that the Lord himself, his presence was there in that fiery, cloudy pillar. The Lord looked through that. I did say the Lord doesn't need to look through a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, does he? But it's indicating this was the very presence of the Lord there. Our God is one who sees all, knows all. The very presence is assured that we don't go through any circumstance that is unknown to the Lord. We never find ourselves in a place where the Lord doesn't know. He can see through the cloud. He can see through the pillars. He can see through all things and know what's happening. Here are the Israelites pursued by the Egyptians. They were afraid. It says so. They were in fear. But the Lord knew. He saw. There was the presence of the Lord with them. We shall find as we go through the journeyings of the children of Israel in the wilderness that there were times when the Lord, he had to move that presence of his there, signified by the cloud, out of the camp. Time when they rebelled against the Lord. And the Lord said, I cannot abide in the camp, lest I consume you. And he had to move outside of the camp, still there, but outside of the camp. There was that occasion, wasn't there, where the Lord came down with a pillar of fire, came and moved over the tabernacle, when it had been built and made and constructed according to his design. And there was that great occasion where the tabernacle was filled with the glory of the Lord. The priest couldn't stand before it. But again, there was the pillar that came and ended up over the tabernacle. The very presence of the Lord with his people. What a joy that is to us. What a comfort it is to us that the Lord is with his people. Do we sense that? Do we understand that? Do we realize that this is the reality? Not just words, isn't it? Some mystical understanding here. This is what the Lord assures his people of. His very presence is there to comfort, to assure that he sees all, he's with his people. But his presence as well here was also a presence to protect his people. We remember in the account here, we see that in verse 20, that the pillar moves when the Egyptians were approaching the camp of Israel. And in verse 20 it says, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Lord, scriptures say to us so often, is a shield to his people. Psalmist is one of the favourite expressions of the psalmist. We've been that so often. The psalmist talked about the Lord being his fortress, but also his shield, buckler, and his shield. The Lord is the one who protects his people, shields his people, Shields us from what? Not from earthly troubles. We don't translate this into earthly troubles. The Lord's people are caught up just as the rest of mankind with all the earthly troubles. But the onslaught of Satan, the wiles of the wicked one, all the battles that we engage in against the old nature and against sin, that the Lord is a shield to us. And when we've come to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and we know that he's dealt with our old nature and he's dealt with sin there at the cross at Calvary, and we know that in the battles that we go through day by day, he'll be a shield to us. He'll not forsake us. He's the one that will enable us to endure temptation and trial. He will, with every trial, give a way of escape. To every temptation, there's a way of escape. The Lord. His presence is with his people, but an assurance that as a shield, he protects his people. You know, the psalmist spoke about these things very often. There's that lovely psalm that I'm sure we all know so well, don't we? Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. What a lovely description again of the presence of the Lord with his people. That shade on our right hand. One who is with us throughout all the trials and afflictions of this life. But it's not only here that this presence of the Lord is set before us as just the comfort and as the shield that protects, but that the very presence of the Lord indicates that he will fight for his people. And there's a lovely description of that taking place here, isn't there? What is it that Moses says here at the beginning of this incident? It says there in verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you. We still have that later on then when it takes place, don't we? Later on in the passage where it says there that the Lord looks through the pillar, verse 24, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels. Is the Lord fighting for his people? You know, again, we turn our eyes to the cross at Calvary. And we see there the victory that was won as the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with sin, taking away the punishment that his people deserve for their sin. And they're cleansed in the blood of Christ. And he's done battle there, and he's vanquished, and he defeats sin and death and Satan, and he rises victorious from the grave. And he is the one who is even now the one who fights for you. Day is going to come when we shall see those sins no more. We know that in the sight of God now they're dealt with, washed away, cleansed, but we still engage in the daily battle. And here's this lovely description of what it is that we're assured of. Moses says to the Israelites here, he says, the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again, no more, forever. What the Lord says to us? Regarding our sins, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, sins cleansed, taken away, washed in the blood of Christ, assurance that God says you'll see them again, no more, forever, never to return, never to be raised up on that day of judgment, to be accused, to be used by the accuser, not taken there to bring us into judgment because we shall see them no more, forever. The Lord is here, so we'll win that victory. And it's lovely to think, isn't it, how the Passover that they've been through indicated, isn't it, that which pointed to Christ's death upon the cross at Calvary, dealing with sin, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Yet, day is going to come, see those enemies no more. We're in that condition now, aren't we? Yes, justified in the sight of God, sins forgiven, blood of Christ covering the sins of his people. But oh, we feel, don't we, the weakness of the flesh. Trials day by day. How so often we give in, don't we, in the battle. How weak we find ourselves, how faithless we are. Those enemies, those sins, the day is going to come. Stand before God on that day. Our Saviour standing there, one who shed his blood for his people. Sins, see, no more, forever. What a lovely, complete and perfect work that the Lord has done. So we see here in this pillar of fire, this pillar of cloud, we see the presence of the Lord, presence to comfort, presence with his people, presence that protects, shields his people, that he fights for his people. And we have him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that great victor, one who has accomplished all at Calvary and will one day finish that great work that he has begun. And then thirdly, we see in this account here of the Israelites beginning their journeyings, we're reminded that our salvation is all of grace. And it's through faith that we receive these things. Notice how the emphasis was given here, that there was nothing the Israelites could do here. Moses said again, verse 13 of chapter 14, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Nothing they could do. Escape from Egyptians here. Here's Moses saying, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. All of God. And likewise, we are to be those who look to Calvary, look to what our Saviour has done there upon the cross, and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We don't contribute to our salvation. We don't earn it. We have no merit of our own. We're undeserving. And we certainly have no strength, nothing to contribute to it. It's all of his work. It's all of grace. It's his complete sacrifice at Calvary. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And it's by faith that we're to receive what it is that the Lord has accomplished. In Hebrews and chapter 11, we find that in that great account of the heroes of faith, where it goes through, doesn't it, all those examples in the Old Testament, we find today's incident, one we're looking at here now, as the Israelites come to the Red Sea, we find that set before us. Hebrews 11 and verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, went through the Red Sea. See, even there is set before us this picture, isn't it? They were to go forward by faith. If by faith we trust in Christ's finished work, and we go on by faith. We live by faith. The believer saved by faith, but he's to live by faith as well. And we're to see then, aren't we, that this is something that the Lord sets before us, even here, all of his grace and his mercy. And we're to receive these things by faith. Turn to the end of that chapter, end of chapter 14, Exodus 14. What does it say? Verse 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. They saw, feared, believed. That's the great message that comes to us today, isn't it? See on the cross of Calvary the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, laying down his life for sinners. We're to see there the consequence of sin. We see there the judgment of God upon sin. We see what sin deserves, the wrath of God. We're to see that in fear, but we're to see that and believe that here was one who died in the place sinners. Here's one who shed his blood, the eternal, only begotten Son of God, shed his own blood there at Calvary for sinners. But to see there, aren't we, the awfulness of sin, the consequence of sin. But oh yes, we're afraid. We see what we deserve. But we're to believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and thou shalt be saved. Can I challenge you tonight? Seeing your sin in the way that God sees it, dreadful offense it is to God, the judgment it deserves, the punishment of God. We see in all these accounts that we've been looking at as we've gone through the plagues in Egypt, we see tokens of God's judgment upon sin. We see what sin deserves. We see what sinners deserve. This is the consequence of sin. And there's only one escape at the end. They came to the Passover lamb, and there was only one escape from that judgment, the blood of the lamb. And we are to be those who look upon the cross at Calvary to see the dreadful consequence of sin, but to see that's the only way of escape, believing and trusting what the Lord Jesus Christ has done there. And just like these Israelites here, he says they feared the Lord. They saw, they feared the Lord. They believe the Lord. There's an encouragement to us, isn't there, to lay hold upon these things. Take these things to heart. Seen the salvation of the Lord. They were told earlier on, weren't they? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Says to us today. You stood still at the foot of the cross. Have you seen there the salvation of the Lord? Have you seen what took place there? The centurion who beat his breast and said, truly this man was the Son of God. It's the Son of God who died there up on the cross. Have you seen that? Feared and trembled. But then, oh, faith and believe. It's by faith that we're to receive these things. But there is, in closing, one last thing I want to bring to us this evening. And that's an admonition, a warning to us. We saw in this account here that the Israelites, as they came to the Red Sea, already begun to show faithlessness, doubt, a desire to return. You see what it was, that they begun to murmur. And this is sadly something that we're going to see as we go on through the accounts of the wanderings of the children of Israel. We find there that they said, verse 11 of chapter 14, they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Already, people here showing lack of faith. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, if you can turn to this for a moment, you find the Apostle Paul draws attention to this and applies it in a very solemn way to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now you see, Paul is here alluding to these events that we're reading of today. And in a picture style, it's as though they were baptized unto Moses. You saw the picture. The sea was divided as a wall on the right hand on the left, and they're passing under the cloud. It's like they're going through the waters of baptism in a way. And here they are entering onto their new life, following Moses who's leading them through, baptized unto Moses. And he goes on to speak about how they were partakers of so many spiritual blessings. They did all eat the same spiritual meat, verse 3. Did all eat the same, drink the same spiritual drink in verse 4. But notice what it says in verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Paul goes on to unfold warnings about their behavior. And he says, now here were a people, privileged, all seemingly experiencing the same blessings, but they were not all those who truly knew the Lord. He goes on to say here, as well as that warning to us in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 10, wherefore he says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And it brings us back again to this challenge. Have we put our faith and trust in the right place? Is our trust, our confidence, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished? Or is it in the fact that we're just in the company of the Lord's people? This is what Paul's saying. There were many there in that great camp of Israelites that the Lord was not pleased with. They were all in the same camp, but they were not all the Lord's people in that eternal sense. They were all those who, as it were baptized. It's your trust and confidence in having gone through some religious ceremony, having been baptized. That's the wrong place for your confidence. They were all those who had partaken of the Passover meal. Sometimes people put their confidence in taking communion, coming to the communion table. That's not sufficient. See, none of these things can see us right in the sight of God. It's by faith. To be those who, as we were be reminded, put our faith and trust in His finished work. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Where is your trust? Where is your confidence? Is it in the outward? Is it in the company that you keep? Is it in the ceremonies, the rites? Is it in the outward, or is it that inner heart of trust and faith in the living God, Lord Jesus Christ? It needs to be there. And as believers, if we're those who truly do know and love the Lord Jesus, then we should also take heed to Paul's warning here when he draws our attention to the behavior of so many of these Israelites. Says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Don't behave like these Israelites did. Don't presume upon the goodness of God. Because there were many that the Lord was not well. We're to be those who have truly come to know and love the Lord. Then that presence of the Lord that we spoke about, and that leading of the Lord, that guidance of the Lord, that encouragement and comfort, Him fighting for us, Him being a shield unto us, all those things are things that should stir us up in our Christian lives to live for Him and for His glory, to do battle against the old nature and sin and that desire that so many of these Israelites showed of going back to their old ways. Oh, we're better off in Egypt. And we find that again and again in the wilderness. Time and again they say, well, life was better then. Life was easier then. Oh, let that never be said of us. Let it never be said of the Lord's people that there was anything desirable or pleasing in our old lives. Oh, that should be anathema to us. Walk with the Lord. To know that presence of God. To know a walk with Him. Communion with Him. A love for His word. For His commandments. That guides us. That pillar of fire. That pillar of cloud. That guided them by day and by night. Keep close to the Lord. Keep close to His word. Keep close to those things that please the Lord. And that we might then know that joy of entering into the promised land. The remnant that get there. Think of the accounts of the children of Israel and their wanderings. Out of those who are over 20 and older, there were only those two that entered the promised land. All the rest of them fell in the wilderness. Those under the age of 20, though, were the ones who received that inheritance. It was but a small number. So many accompanying with the Lord's people were found to have an empty profession. Well, may the Lord help us then to be those who truly put our faith and trust in Him. Him alone. And may He be our cloudy pillar, our fiery pillar. May He be the one who leads us and guides us and takes us to that journey's end. Promised, never leave you or forsake you. Well, may the Lord indeed bless these things to us. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for Thy word. And we thank Thee, Lord, for every assurance of Thy presence with Thy people, that comfort, that strength, that all those things that we have need of. We thank Thee that Thou art one who leads and guides, and Thou art indeed the one who will never forsake us. O Lord, forgive us if there have been anything in our lives, day by day, that would turn us away from Thy pathways, that would cause us to look back upon the old ways. And O Lord, keep us close to Thee, we pray. And O Lord, if there be any who have not yet, Lord, truly in faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, entered into this pathway, O Lord, deal with such, we pray, that they might indeed see and fear, and then, O, believe and trust. O, by faith, we thank Thee, Lord, that it is all of grace. We thank Thee, Lord, for the gift of faith. We thank Thee, Lord, for that promise that Thou art indeed of a people that Thou art take to that journey's end. We look to Thee, Lord, that Thou be pleased then so to do one of our hearts and life. Hear us, we pray, in our Saviour's name. Amen.